Y'all got to be ready to go, man.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mocarum Injury Lawyers.
Mocarum Injury Lawyers, hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. If you or a loved one is ever injured in an accident, you know who the hell to call. Mocarum Injury Lawyers, baby. All right, check it out, man. If you're listening on that AM, FM dial, we greatly appreciate you. If you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, we greatly appreciate you. We want all y'all to do us a solid favor and download the Audacy app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the Audacy app and stay plugged into Sports Radio 610. And today would be one of those days where you definitely want to have the Audacy app. Nick Caserio was on Payne and Pendergast in the 7 a.m. hour. You can use the rewind feature and go directly back to that and hear it in full from Payne and Pendergast. Robert Flores was on with us right here, MLB Network, at 2:40 today to discuss the Framber Valdez situation, which is dominating the airwaves, at least in terms of Major League Baseball. It was before I came in, and I'm sure it still is, but Robert Flores of MLB Network had some interesting thoughts. D'Amico Ryans, post-practice presser on a Wednesday game week, was on at 3 p.m., and C.J. Stroud, we just wrapped up with C.J. Stroud at 3:40, his post-practice presser. You can catch all of those on the Audacy app. That rewind feature is absolutely clutch. Also, Tyler, when the show's over, he will podcast individually every single segment that we have, so you can sift through and just pick what you want to listen to. We prefer you listen two to six straight on through. We greatly appreciate those that ride from 2 to 6, but if you need to dial in, plug in to just one segment, you can do that on the Audacy app. Again, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the Audacy app and keep us on your hips. Stay plugged in to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Now, Nick Caserio, I mentioned he was on with Payne and Pendergast this morning. And look, the topic with the Texans, until rubber meets the road and we see not one, to be honest with you, but multiple games with this particular 2025 version of the Houston Texans, the biggest talking point is going to be the offensive line. The biggest talking point is going to be the offensive line. And Nick Caserio was on Payne and Pendergast talking about two of the most important figures when it comes to the Texans fixing their offensive line problems. Let's start with Nick Caserio telling us, Tyler, what the Texans are up against this week. They are up against one of what Nick Caserio says is one of the best defensive fronts in football. Here's Nick Caserio talking about the Rams' defensive line.
Yeah, we're probably as ready as we'll be on the offensive line. So, you know, we understand the challenge in front of us against the Rams. I mean, this is arguably like top to bottom, like 1 through 5 when you include Puna Ford in there, which not everybody's really talking about Puna. I mean, they have probably, this is collectively, you know, one of the better defensive lines we'll probably see over the course of the year, just from a 1 through 5 basis. Like, we're going to face good defensive linemen every week, and some teams maybe only have 1 or 2. But, you know, when you look at the Rams, I mean, they literally have 5 guys who are as good as anybody in the league at their respective positions. So we're certainly going to have to account for their defensive line on almost every snap. I mean, Verse kind of moves around the front a little bit. I mean, this is a really good front. Again, it's probably as good of a front, just top to bottom, that we're going to face 1 through 5. So, you know, we're going to need everybody to just focus on their execution, their fundamentals, and their assignment, understand what the intent is on each play, and just make sure the communication is clean. It's going to be a hostile environment. It's going to be on the road. So we just got to make sure we have all 5 doing the same thing. And the tight ends will be a part of it. And the running backs will be a part of it. Quarterback will certainly have responsibility in it as well. So it's going to take a collective effort to handle their defense without question.
High praise. D'Amico had high praise for Jared Verse, calling him one of the best in the league. Nick Caserio talking about this front with the 5-man rotation that they can roll through there being as good as there is in the league. I don't know that I can get there in terms of one of the best in the league, but I do believe that this is a very solid test for the Houston Texans. I don't think there's anybody on here. Jared Verse is a great player. I mean, they've got some great players. He mentioned Puna Ford. There are some great players on this team, but I don't think there's guys on there, Ron, that should just absolutely wreck the pocket for C.J. Stroud or wreck the run game blocking schemes for Nick Chubb. Like, this is a good challenge, great challenge, but it's one that we as Texans fans should expect to have a little bit of success.
You don't think Verse is that type of player?
No, I think he potentially can be, but I'm not ready to anoint his ass as that. No, I don't watch Jared. I watched Jared Verse, and I loved him in college. He was one of my favorite players coming out of Florida State, and they ended up getting both of the defensive linemen from Florida State, and I like him, and he may end up being one of the best in the league. I just don't know that I'm ready to call him an absolute game wrecker and mention him with some of the best that the NFL has to offer, in my opinion. Now, we'll see. Maybe Sunday he proves me wrong. The point being is I agree with Nick Caserio right there. 1 through 5, this is a good rotation. Defensive line can pose some problems for the Texans, who their number one priority is to fix the damn offensive line. And I think before we see rubber meeting the road, I think the number one person that can help the offensive line and fix the problems from last year is CJ Stroud. You just heard from him at 3:40, and he gave you some reasons why he can help this offensive line. There's been multiple times that he's been asked this offseason about the offensive line. He said, hey, we got to help these guys. I've got to help these guys. Nick Caley's got to help these guys. Right? I think CJ Stroud, the quarterback, is the number one guy that can help this team. But there are two other guys that Nick Caserio spoke about today. One of them being the new offensive line coach, Cole Popovich. Here's Nick Caserio on the O-line coach and the guy that ultimately I think is tasked with making the biggest improvement across the board for the Texans this year.
Yeah, Cole's worked really hard during this opportunity, and he didn't have it easy. When you look at kind of where he started and to where he is now, it's a credit to him and his approach. And I think what you're hoping for as a player is just whomever the coach is just for somebody that's consistent, that's honest, and that's authentic. And I think Cole embodies a lot of those principles, and he has his own style, which is important, but he's very smart. He works very, very hard. He played the position, so he has a little bit of a background in terms of, you know, what the expectation understanding is of scheme, etc. And he and Zach Yenzer have worked really well together. And your job as a coach is just to get the players prepared so when they can go out there, they can perform at an optimum level. You know, Cole's worked really hard. There's a reason that we brought him into the program when we did. You know, Cole's earned this opportunity, and we're glad he's here.
Cole Popovich, the new offensive line coach, Ron. I think this.
Jesus.
I mean, obviously, he is the task has been laid at his feet, and he's got to fix this offensive line. Yeah, Nick Caley's got to schematically do some things and hold some guys, you know, set a certain standard. But Cole Popovich is the one that's in the room with him. And here's what I like about Cole Popovich, Ron. He was in the room last year with all of the dysfunction, right? And when they hired Cole Popovich, like, what the hell? This guy was in the room. Why couldn't he fix it? Now, that's still there. Now, we'll see if he can outplay that, so to speak. But the fact that he was in the room last year with all this dysfunction, Ron, it should have been and hopefully was a key piece in confidently making the necessary moves, move on from Laremy Tunsil, make some of the moves that they made with players that were in there last year. Be able to confidently say, hey, here's some of the things that were going on in that room, and give D'Amico Ryans a firsthand account of what was going on in that room, right? And so, therefore, Cole Popovich should know how to fix it. You ain't coming in blind and going, well, who are these guys? What do we do? Cole Popovich should know. The experience in this system that Nick Caley is trying to install and the Texans are hoping to run this year, not only in the system, but he was under one of the best offensive line coaches the league has ever seen. And I think that has to mean something for Cole Popovich. I like that about his resume, Ron. And his overall approach to coaching offensive line, I think, is exactly what the doctor ordered for the Texans. I don't know internally, like from the players, like I don't know those guys. But I know from a fan's perspective and from a media perspective that watches a lot of film, this team needed to be held to a physicality standard. Like, set the standard of, hey, we are going to play the game in a physical nature, and I think this team needed it, and I like that about Cole Popovich leading into the season.
Yeah, he everything has been A-okay. Thumbs up, great belief in everything. But if I know Texans fans, the way that they should be approaching it and the way that I think I know them after this being the sixth year I'm covering this team, it is under there. It is under there, and the concerns of what this thing is going to look like is still there, and they need to get going off on a good start. So up to this point, everything has been has been positive, but the real bullets are about to get fired, and they need to see it.
Fixing the offenses, the Texans' offensive line problem. C.J. Stroud's number one. A close second is new offensive line coach Cole Popovich. He was in there and saw what was going on. Damn it, he ought to be able to fix it if he's worth the damn in terms of being a coach. We shall see there. I think another key player here with the Texans in a sense of fixing their offensive line play is the center, Jake Andrews. And look, Jake Andrews is a guy that was released by the New England Patriots, a rebuilding franchise with a young quarterback, and immediately scooped up by the Texans. I mean, clearly Nick Caserio, clearly Cole Popovich have experience with Jake Andrews, knew him well, and thought it'd be good to bring him in here. I did not think that he was going to get the Kamari Lassiter treatment, though, Ron. You pick a guy up off the streets that couldn't cut it in New England, you bring him in here, you give him the starting job, and he never let it go. Here is Nick Caserio on what about center Jake Andrews earned him the starting job.
Yeah, sure. No, he was a player that we evaluated when he was coming out of Troy in 22 or 23, whatever year that was. He had a certain, I'd say, playing style, physicality, toughness about him that what we liked, and we graded him kind of accordingly. And then he was drafted there in the fourth round by New England. And the fact that Cole had coached him, we had some more better understanding of what the player was about. We felt that was a player that when we claimed him, he would at least be competitive with the rest of the group, understanding we were kind of still piecing that together. But from jump, I mean, his attitude, his mindset, the way he works, I mean, he's upstairs as much as any player, watching film, spending time with Cole, and we had legit competition at center. JP's played a number of snaps. He started and played quality football for us. You know, Juice really has the most position flexibility between those guys, center to guard, but Juice has started at center. So we let the competition kind of sort itself out. The reality is we're probably going to need everybody in that room at some point, but Jake has earned this opportunity with his work ethic, with his mindset, and you know, we're glad that he's here.
High praise for center Jake Andrews from Nick Caserio, the general manager for the Texans. I tell you what I love about Jake Andrews and his ability to help this team be better in the O-line play overall, but if we're being honest, it's about pass protection. The fact that he knows this system. He knows the terminology. He knows offensive line coach Cole Popovich like the back of his hand. I believe he's got experience with Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator, as well. I think Jake Andrews won this center competition for two reasons. One, he can communicate. He knew the system. He can communicate. Clearly, he's a good communicator. Number two, we talked about the physicality that I think Cole Popovich wants out of this offensive line. He brings a level of physicality, at least in the run game, blocking perspective. He brings a level of physicality that I think is what they want out of their offensive line. So Cole Popovich, the O-line coach, Jake Andrews, the new center, Ron. I think those are the two key pieces beyond C.J. Stroud that are gonna play a role, whether good or bad, good, bad, or indifferent, in fixing the Texans' offensive line problems.
To start, it was a Patterson, Andrews, Scruggs type of situation at center.
Yep.
Then it dropped to a Patterson and Andrews. From what you watched in training camp, and to the texters and listeners as well, what you watched in training camp, what you watched in preseason games, did you feel like Andrews clearly separated himself in that competition?
Well, I wouldn't say I see that clearly, but I think overall, as the offensive line play goes, he spent most of his time with the ones from start to finish, as I said many a times watching training camp, yes, the practices were ugly and messy for the offense, and a lot of it was pass protection for C.J. Stroud not being able to get a ball off. But as I saw it, it was more about tackles getting their ass whooped. It wasn't about the center, interior, the middle offensive linemen not being able to stand their ground. It wasn't about guys getting out of position because they didn't know who the hell they had to block. It was about guys getting beat one-on-one. And so I got to believe that has a lot to do with – number one, the communication, and it starts with the center. I think it starts with the center. C.J. Stroud he can overrule anything, override anything, but the center communicating, I think, is a big reason why that interior O-line play was better. And then I think the second part of it, Ron, is look, we never looked at this team, at this unit. This is probably not fair, but it's real. We never looked at this team with Jarrett Patterson at center and said, hey, man, look at that movement inside. Jarrett Patterson did a fine job. but we never looked at the offensive line. I'm talking about beforehand, before last year when he was getting run. We never looked at them and said, man, did you see that center guard, a double team, just completely move that D-tackle from the damn hole? We never saw that. So I've got to attribute the fact that we're seeing it now in the preseason. We saw it some in joint practices. I got to attribute that to somebody, and to me that's Jake Andrews. And I'm leaning solely on the fact that what we've heard people in the building talk about is, boy, Jake Andrews is really in that run blocking, in that physicality, in firing off the ball and hitting somebody. He puts an emphasis on running the football. And so I got to believe that there's some truth to that. So I don't think, to me, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, Jake Andrews is head over heels the better center. But I think the overall product improved significantly with him in there. And so I got to believe that he had something to do with that.
The one thing that was real noticeable is he seemed to have like take control, like he completely knew what was going on from that position. He seemed to, with the system and everything, he seemed to have a clear control and understanding, to me, more that stood out than the other guys he was competing with. All right, coming up as we continue, the lineups are out, and Jordan's back in it, folks. So yeah, you're in good hands. Lineup is out, and another move to the roster with the Astros, and this one greatly affects this show. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
And right there's one of them old beats that'll make you move your head a little bit.
Makes me think of Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard this in movies.
And they're riding into NAMM.
Big Earn, back riding back behind that El Camino seat. Boy, illegal as hell. Shouldn't have been back there. Me and Hank, boy, Dad smoking cigarettes, blowing smoke in our face, riding behind the seat, no seatbelt on. Listen to these oldies right here, boy.
You disappointed that I don't have a clue who this is?
Nah.
Is this a very known band? You think I will know it when I hear it?
Here's the thing. It is a known band, and I can't tell you who it is. I ain't got the artist.
You got it?
It is a known band.
I got it.
Well, he's looking at it.
Is it?
Well, I actually don't even have it labeled right, but I do know who it is.
Is this the Stones?
No. Clint, any guesses?
Oh, man.
Red, white, and blue.
I don't have it, man. I don't have it. Who is it? It's going to piss me off.
Little Revival. Revival for you.
Credence.
Yeah, Credence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, I knew that, man. Big Earn would be so disappointed right now.
I have never in life heard of that.
Never heard of CCR?
That band until today. At 4:28.
Oh, man. CCR. Big Earn be mad at me right now, man.
This show's all about educating and entertaining.
CCR.
I mean, boy, hey.
Wow. Okay.
Golly, man. That's disappointing. Sorry, Dad. I mean, I don't. It's hard for me to disappoint Big Earn at this point. That would have done it. I mean, going down I-10, smoke in the face, Dad's cigarette with a cherry on the end, burning the hell out of the felt around where the window rolls up. Oh, yeah.
Kick Rocks. Said, and Ron got upset at us for some obscure lady we didn't know. Is CCR the equivalent of not knowing who Erykah Badu is?
Yeah, I would say so.
I'd say so, yeah. They were pretty big time.
How and what year is this? Are we talking this again?
60s, 70s?
Do we?
Is there a difference between that being in the 60s and the 70s and Erykah Badu being in the mid to late 90s?
If you didn't have anybody in your life that put 60s and 70s rock and roll, southern rock, whatever you want to call it, in your veins, then it makes perfect sense that you wouldn't know who it is.
Text line in, damn, Ron, that is pathetic. CCR, never in life heard of it.
I couldn't pull CCR, but the fact that you ain't never heard of it is, you watch a lot of movies. You watch it. What was
that? And I listen to a lot of stuff. I have nope.
You have a diverse palette, music palette.
I may not listen. Let me take it back. I may not listen to all of the, but I am weirdly obsessed with like finding out about bands and their stories.
CCR. Look, if Teresa and Red didn't put it in your life, you wouldn't know about it. That's Big Earn. That's all Big Earn right there, man.
Yeah, fire Ron immediately. Turning out of 610 since Ron doesn't know who CCR is. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. Clint did not have him.
I couldn't pull the artist on that song, but I know exactly who CCR is. But yes. Gosh, that's.
Do you think I had? Is there another CCR song that you're confident that I know?
I would bet.
CCR.
I'm going out on a limb here.
I mean, is there? Who's the lead singer? Is there somebody
I would
that
bet
is,
you? I'd bet you, Ron, that there's multiple songs that you would know if you heard it. That you would know some of the lyrics. Maybe not all of the lyrics, but you would know.
I mean, they debuted in 1959.
59. There you go. 60s and 70s. That's right. What is the song, Tyler? It's Good Morning Vietnam. You remember Good Morning Vietnam, the movie? When they're
R.I.P. Robin Williams.
Isn't that CCR when they're coming in on a helicopter to start in the opening of the movie? Isn't that CCR?
Yeah, probably.
People are texting in John Fogerty. Is that somebody who is...
It's Fogerty, but yeah.
Fogerty. Is that somebody we're... I don't know. Someone texted John freaking Fogerty.
Bad Moon Rising, Proud Mary. Bad Moon Rising and Proud Mary. You've heard those two. Fortunate Son.
This is Proud Mary.
Proud Mary has been done over by several black artists.
Well, I'm looking at a play.
Yeah, I've heard Tina Turner sing this.
We bumped in with Fortunate Son.
Yeah, I've heard Tina Turner sing this. Yeah.
Did Tina steal it?
She did.
Yeah, I picked up the beats per minute a bit. Old Tina did.
Yeah, that's Tina Turner. I didn't know that was not Tina Turner again until this moment. It did not have that as...
Golly, I didn't realize how many good songs CCR had.
Oh, yeah.
Down on the corner?
Yep.
Golly, I knew... Out in the streets, baby.
Text line coming in. Ron, you're good. To America's. Okay. I figured it was.
Well, look,
I figured a little bit in there.
Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say that Erykah Badu may fit in the Two Americas.
Oh,
Two Americas,
yeah, sure. I thought Tyler mid-90s might
59 and old and 59 rock may not reach show.
But there's a Tyler had never heard of the songs.
Yeah, no. Look, I mean,
right, like Better Call Tyrone or like any of her songs he had not recognized her, let alone Erykah Badu.
Mm-hmm.
I've at least heard the song.
I did know Miss Tina Turner along with CCR, though.
Okay, you said there's some, real quick, you said there's some good...
Oh, there's some pertinent Joe Espada audio.
Let's hear it. Let's hear Joe Espada, obviously, the whole Framber situation and everything. We got to address this at some point. Chaz
I'm gonna go
McCormick,
home and listen to oldies.
Chaz McCormick has been sent down to AAA, so it's over.
Oh!
You can completely stop with that music. But what is
Is Melton on the roster?
He's right. He is.
What's he hitting right now? You're keeping a left-handed bat. I knew this was coming. I've accepted this.
It's a spot audio.
I accepted this. I knew it was coming, Ron. I knew it was coming. But you literally are keeping a dude available
expanded on rosters.
149. He's sub 150 now.
Get two more players in September.
He's sub 150. What does
rosters.
Jacob Melton have pictures of Joe Espada naked?
Maybe
what
this
are we
means,
what are we doing here?
Maybe this means Jake is really close. All right, what is it? What is it from Espada? Let's hear it.
Let me start today, before you guys start, you know, with the questions. So yesterday, I obviously met with Salazar and Valdez. Once I finished talking to you post game, and I really wanted to get down to number one was the asking him to step off. I wanted to know about the thought process. What, you know, which pitch, who was calling which pitch and what. And I wanted to hear from both of them at the same time. I wanted to have a conversation face-to-face because I wanted to hear the truth about the whole entire thing that happened in that inning. I have a lot of respect for both players, and I truly believe that when we have these conversations that they're honest, and I want them to tell me the truth, and I want them to tell you guys the truth once they, you know, talk to the media. So I don't want to get into specifics, but I do want to say that I want to put this behind us. There's a lot of speculations and stuff that is being sent on the media, which I don't read, but they make me, you know, people tell me what's going on, and I don't like it. A lot of that stuff is not true, but I understand the environment and the what comes with it, right? So I appreciate if we can just get past this and go back to, you know, baseball. No, that's too long to go in respect.
I bet he does want
to
get
past. Once again, I tip my cap to Joe Espada for how he handles things. I love the way he handled the Presley hater thing.
He was serious there.
I love it.
He attacked that.
Now, the only problem there, Espada, is you didn't address the elephant in the room. You asked, didn't say what you learned. And by the way, you didn't say, hey, look, simple, hey, too loud. Hey, hit the wrong button on the pitch comp. Hey, simple, crossed up, happens all the time in big league. You didn't say anything about that.
Just want to get past it, Clint.
You just want to get past it. Love the way that he handles it with his players in the locker room. Love it, Espada. But if you're going to come out hot like that, you got to at least explain what the hell they said.
He said, I'm not getting into specifics. I'm keeping it in-house.
Clearly that he didn't, what he heard and what he got out, when he got down to the truth, he didn't feel like he could share it with the media.
Puff your chest out all you want. Don't pee in my freaking
their actions say they don't believe that stuff was intentional. All right, coming up, football is back. Texans report is back. Brandon Scott, he joins us next right here live on the Drive.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Brandon Scott in Texans report. Brandon is disappointed. Are you disappointed? Are you surprised?
No, I'm not disappointed or
that
surprised.
I don't have CCR. I know there's songs like Clint just played several songs. One of them, Remember the Titans. I didn't have the name.
I think it's pretty consistent with Tyler. It's a bit of a two Americas thing. I think it's what's happening there. I think it's pretty consistent with Tyler not knowing Erykah Badu. But I would even go further to say, like, if you were to get in the car with me right now after we finish this, you're more likely to hear Erykah Badu than you are CCR. But CCR, definitely more famous than Erykah Badu by a mile, by like a long shot.
I'm not going to argue that.
Like more well-known.
59.
They sold 7 times as many albums during their career.
Yeah.
They had a head start.
So mine's not as bad as yours.
59.
No, I'm not going to stop yelling because that means I lost the fight.
Yeah, I think it is bad.
59 is when they started.
I've at least heard the songs. I've heard the songs.
You just didn't.
He ain't heard Tyrone.
7 mil versus 50 now, mil sold, bro.
Misty.
Now, I do wonder, where were you in 1997, Tyler, to not have
what
heard
year?
Tyrone. 1997, that's probably when Tyrone came.
We played Bag Lady. First-timer.
Bag Lady would probably never have been 2000, yeah, somewhere around there, 99.
See, clearly what I've learned is CCR, they're in a lot of movies.
A lot of these
are songs I've heard in movies.
Yes. And me working at Walgreens.
And you working at Walgreens.
I got a little classic rock knowledge from Walgreens. I did.
Yeah. As we were, let's go Texas report before this gets away from us. By the way, football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live on Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Someone texted and said, maybe if you grew up more in the South, you may have CCR in the Midwest. Texans, week one is here. The biggest thing, you were there, you heard from D'Amico, CJ, as they spoke to the media today, a big thing, the number one thing on your mind going into week one right now.
Well, I just want to see this test that the offensive line is going to have. I mean, earlier, even before D'Amico, we heard from, and y'all played this a little bit in the 4 o'clock segment with Clint, on how Nick Caserio was talking about the offensive line, specifically the offensive line coach, Jake Andrews earning that spot. And I know if you look at it and you think, and he was the starter from said go. Did he really earn it, or did they just give it to him? Now, I think they gave it to him because he earned it. I watched him quite a bit in preseason, and you could tell the difference between what it looked like, not just the communication piece, which is important, but I think less important because of what C.J. Stroud is going to be doing at the line of scrimmage, but the physicality stuff that they're talking about. Jake Andrews, I don't know how good he is necessarily, but he's got that dog in him. Like, he's willing to go out there, put his body on the line in the way that you want your offensive line to do. So I'm curious to see how this offensive line is going to fare against a defensive line that I think is going to get after it. I think it's going to test them. I think from a Texan standpoint, you could look at it the other way of like, hey, your defensive line is going to get after Matthew Stafford. But they also got one, too, that's about to get after C.J. Stroud, who was sacked as many times as all but one quarterback last year, 50-plus times, and you don't want to see anything like that. So this will be a good test for the offensive line, I think.
Yeah, look, I think you don't have to be the biggest, most talented O-lineman in the room. If you've got the mentality and you can communicate it better than anybody else, then and you just approach the game a certain way, you know more than everybody in the room because you've been in it before, that could be a powerful existence right there, right? You don't have to be necessarily a first-round pick or the biggest dude in the room or the baddest dude in the room. It's just, hey, man, we believe that this guy's going to get us in the right calls. And he's going to give us a chance to execute some blocks. What about the C.J. Gardner-Johnson stuff? You know, him being healthy, sounds like D'Amico kind of talked about this week, but then he alluded to last week being back out there. C.J. Gardner-Johnson being back for this team is big on the defensive side.
I thought it was a good sign, and I think we were all out there. Certainly you and I were out there, Clint. Ron might have been out of town at the time. But that Panthers practice, that Panthers joint practice, when we saw C.J. Gardner-Johnson for the first time since his injury, now he was out there with a little bit of a limp. But that, to me, was a good sign and showed that, hey, he's probably further along than obviously we thought when he got injured. But even so after that, when they kind of made it seem like it wasn't as bad as it looked. So, yeah, no, I think it completely changes the dynamic of the secondary. It is what helps them make that case for best secondary in the league, right? Like, why were we not talking about them as the best secondary in the league last year, right? Well, the only missing piece, when you talk about what they brought back, what they're bringing in, it's C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Everybody else is somebody that was already on the team for the most part, right? So C.J. Gardner-Johnson is the addition, a different type of player. I think that's a huge thing for this defense. Even if the strength of it is up front, like this to me is what takes them over the top.
Brandon Scott, Texans report. There's a lot going into this year of just kind of unknowns. We talked about a little bit up front, the offensive line, what to expect from them. I think maybe the biggest unknown right now, and we've learned a little bit more, is Nick Caley. How are you feeling about Nick Caley at this point now that you've gone through training camp, you've gone through the preseason, you've seen him call some games? What's your feeling about going to this game with Nick Caley, another big unknown question?
So far, so good. I think earlier in the show, this was just the last segment, I think, when early in the hour, and you were talking about Jake Andrews, when Clint brought it up, and you're like, so far, so good. It looks like so far, it's checked all the boxes for me.
Yeah.
You know, the play calling, I think, looks good. The coaching, I think that's the piece of this with Nick Caley that he's supposed to be bringing that Bobby Slowick supposedly did not, right? Could draw up plays or could call plays, but couldn't necessarily adjust, didn't necessarily have all of the necessary coaching points that it seems like guys like Nick Caley and Cole Popovich are more so emphasizing. That's good for a lot of talk right now in the preseason and camp in the offseason. We will see once it gets out there. I feel good about it, but I'd like to see a much more thorough sample size than just a couple preseason games and how things look in a controlled practice, right? Like when things go right, like nothing, they haven't really faced any kind of adversity, right? Like they obviously lost the Minnesota game, the preseason opener, and of course you had the rookie throwing picks all over the place, and that didn't necessarily look great. But ever since then, they've looked pretty good. There's been no adversity. There's been no need to, like, adjust, make a change, make a decision. We haven't seen them in that situation yet. So we will see. But so far, so good.
I love the way that they installed. I love the way that they didn't try to do too much and come out guns blazing. He gets his opportunity and goes into promising the world. He just slowly, methodically installed this offense, it looked like. I love the way they did that. Like you said, I think the most adversity they really hit all camp long was in-house. I think it was Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter just ruining every damn ones versus ones team they had. And it seemed like they stayed pretty strong and consistent through that, made the necessary adjustment to put Tytus Howard out there to give him a chance. I know that was more of a Cam Robinson thing, but that's kind of promising. I tell you where I'm at, B. Scott, with him, too, is kind of like where I was with D'Amico Ryans. When you hired D'Amico Ryans as your head coach, first things first, first line of business, first order of business, the defense better be right.
Yeah.
If that's your head coach, you got to have a top-tier defense. They did that, right? When you hire Nick Caley as your offensive coordinator, ultimately he's got to be a great play caller, great schemer. We'll see all that down the road. What I expect to see immediately is the tight ends used more effectively. The tight ends being the guys that are put in position to help this offense win games. Let's be honest, from last year to this year, there's a big gap to say, hey, man, the tight ends need to be better. Individually and as a group, a bigger part of this offense. So that's one thing that I expect to see pretty quickly here is that group be more productive and be a little bit more of a weapon for the Texans.
Well, and I would say in both the passing game and in the run game.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, this is something that we don't talk about as much because the offensive line was as bad as it was, or at least they were as bad as they were from guard to guard. And, of course, they had the guy that led the league in penalties. So you had all of that going on in this fixation on the offensive line. But I know you talked about this. We've heard Seth talk about this. Overall, as a team, they just were not good enough from the offensive line to the tight ends to the wide receivers and the communication. Everything was just off. And now you look at it, I'm glad you mentioned the tight ends, because I'm thinking back again since I mentioned that Panthers practice where they had that one play where they – I think it was Cade Stover that caught Derrick Brown on a wham block.
Yes.
It was just like vicious and nasty. And I think they ended up running that same play in the game. And they had Luke Lachey on the other side, which was interesting to me because they had their ones out there. But Dalton Schultz was on the sideline, and they had guys that it seemed like were really going to get after it in the run game.
Yep.
Getting it after in the run game. And that's just kind of knowing your personnel, knowing who's who and what's what. And I love to see that. Talking about the offensive line, too, I think this is worth noting. It seems like to me, y'all tell me if y'all disagree, they didn't really downgrade from what I can tell so far at any of the offensive line positions except left tackle, where you feel pretty good about the rookie. But from left guard all the way to, and I guess the right tackle will be the same guy in Tytus Howard, but from left tackle to right, or from left guard to right guard, I feel better about the guys that they have out there than what they were trotting out there last year. That's an improvement. And then hopefully Nick Caley is calling plays that suit that personnel, and that's what it seems like.
Sorry, Brandon, how you you ain't got to give away your pick, but how are you feeling? How are you feeling about this game for the Texans in LA?
Yeah, I think I picked against them when the season, or I should say when the schedule first came out.
Well, did they get you?
I think they got me. I think they got me, and it goes a lot to what Clint was just asking about feeling better about Nick Caley is an unknown. It's a question. I'm not about to sit here and act like it's not. The offensive line, to me, is still an unknown. It's a big question mark. I'm not going to sit here and act like it's not. But feeling better about those things based off of what I've seen from camp, what I've seen in preseason, makes me want to give them the nod just a little bit more. So I'm leaning toward the Texans. I am leaning toward the Texans actually winning this game when I did not think that they would when the schedule first came out.
Leaning towards the Texans. All right. There
man.
Go for it.
Talk myself into it. Why not, man?
Why not? What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, I could just be wrong. That ain't never happened
all
before.
Right. It's all right.
That ain't never happened.
All right, that's B. Scott. He is on with us each and every Wednesday, 4:40, Texans Report. Check him out on Friday on In the Loop at 11 o'clock. He's in for that hour. And, of course, you can catch all his work on sportsradio610.com. We appreciate you, as always. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire, Joe Espada. It ain't over. He addresses the Framber Valdez situation and Cesar Salazar situation. We'll talk about that next. And Chaz McCormick, boys demand today. We'll discuss that as we continue right here live on The Drive.